Welcome to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church for our candlelight Christmas Eve service. Thank you for joining with us tonight. Let's stand together. We're going to start the service with a song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. Lift it up together with me as we sing this wonderful message together.
Joy to have you here this evening for this wonderful candlelit service, and we'll dim the lights a little bit more here in a bit, but we just want to say thank you for joining us on this Christmas Eve, and it's my favorite time of the year, and I know that many of you join me in that sentiment, but we're so thankful for what it represents, because it's the time that we stop and remember that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. We love the story of Christmas, but it continues all the way through to Easter when he, after he died on the cross, rose again. But thank you for being here. Would you join me in prayer, and then we'll continue singing after that. Father, thank you for gathering us together on this Christmas Eve, this holiest night. We're thankful for it, dear Lord, and we're grateful for the songs of the season. We're thankful most of all, though, for the message of the season that deity was robed, took on human flesh so that he might come and sacrifice for us. Lord, we're grateful for Christmas. Thank you for gathering us again. Again, we thank you, and I pray that you would bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remain standing just for a moment, Brother Daniel's going to come lead us in, Oh, Come All Ye Faithful. Let's continue singing this evening.
Seated. In Luke chapter number 2, verse number 1 through 7, it says, And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child, And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. These verses put us in mind of this truth that we'll sing together now. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? Sing with me as we try to put our minds thinking about that this evening. What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, who angels greet with anthem sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping?
Chapter 2, verse 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. God was going to announce to the world that his son had come in that lowly stable in Bethlehem. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And we can all rejoice over that tonight, because not only was that Savior announced to those shepherds, but it's been announced to all of mankind, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Brother Daniel is going to lead us in another song, The First Noel. Can you think with me for just a moment about how it must have been on that first time when the shepherds came and later the wise men came? But then the Bible talks about Mary pondering all these things in her heart. It was settling in on everybody. Now we have the beautiful privilege of looking back on it because we've grown up with the truth, but how it must have been. And I think about that first Noel. Brother Daniel, come lead us in that.
The
after they heard that message, those shepherds saw the multitude of heavenly hosts, the Bible says, praising God and giving glory to Him in the highest. And after the angels left, the Bible says in Luke chapter number 2, verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard and seen as it was told unto them. You can only imagine the joy that flooded their hearts that night as they began a normal night watching their sheep. And just a little while later, they had seen the Messiah lying there as helpless as a baby ever is. And yet they knew that this was not just another baby. This was the Messiah that they had been waiting for centuries. The one who is going to save them, deliver them, the one who brought hope, and truly hope in the dark. Let's sing about that tonight. Oh, holy night, lift it up together. It's a beautiful song. And I want you to think as you sing of this wonderful truth.
Oh, holy night, the song. Thank you.
passage that I want to speak to you from, but the Bible says in verse number 19, if we read already, and Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I want to preach to you for just a little while, speak to you about this. If I was going to entitle it, I would entitle it this: How About a Silent Night? We sing about it, but silent nights do all of us pretty good when we have a little time that's quiet and we get to seek the Lord. So if you would, bow your heads one more time, and we'll pray together, and I want to share a few thoughts with you. Father, thank you for this time we get to come tonight, and we get to rejoice about a silent night. Bless it to our hearts, dear Lord, as we look into your word, and may your word look into us, and may we be faithful to make some changes if that's what this season requires, because you do it in our lives. Bless us, we pray, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember times when you've had to wait for something? Seems like it. Some things will just never come. I remember waiting before I graduated from high school, the night before. I graduated in 1991, and so about 260-some students walked across the platform there on our high school football field, and we graduated. And I remember thinking about this. Amy and I got married in 1993, so June the 3rd, the night before, the wedding, all that was going to change our lives. And think about waiting for our firstborn son, Jared, and then Maddie at that exact same hospital, and then Allie here in Nashville in Middle Tennessee. And think about all these times when God just sets you aside, seemingly puts you over here, and just says, now wait. And then I think about this season that we're coming to, and we are in, actually, that it's even the world, hopefully, has gotten people just to train to say, just set still for a little bit. I had to be out and about a little bit today, and people were hustling and bustling. I had to run through the bank and do this and that, as many of you all did. But tomorrow, I'll look forward to, if I do get out, I'll look forward to empty streets, and there'll be some people out, of course, and I'm thankful for the people that get out and do the things that they have to keep everybody safe. I appreciate that. But by and large, we get to pull back from all of our activities and just say, we're having a silent day, a silent night. I've had the privilege this year to get to sit with some people that were getting ready to go to a marriage altar, either here or at a wedding venue out at one in Afton this year, and got to pull aside just a little bit and talk to the groom and his groomsmen and just rejoice about how his life was going to change. And I think about those events when God allows us to pull apart. Well, that's what you've got right here, a time for a silent night. As we look about this, I think about kids, and I think about kids, and you think, well, what makes them love Christmas? And I say, well, I know what makes them love Christmas, and that's presents. But you know, there's a lot more than just presents, I do believe, even though they like that. I think they like a few things. I think they like the anticipation of it, meaning that they get to wait for an event as a powerful emotion when you just have to sit still. My dad sometimes would try to tease us a little bit. He said, we're going to let you open the presents. Then we'd run to get them. He said, tomorrow. He was a cruel man, so. But kids, I believe they don't know it, but they love the anticipation of it. But not only that, they love the hope of it, because something there that's not known yet, it's wrapped up in packaging, and the anticipation of it, it's more than just wishing for it, the anticipation, it's the hope of it. The Bible talks about us, if we're a believer in Christ, you have that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I think about that hope, but not only that, I see that when you got that silent night and you're pulled apart from everything, you get that diminishing effect on other things. And let me explain what I mean by that. I think that when you're looking forward to Christmas, especially as a child, and you're looking for those presents and you're looking for that time off from school and all those things, it allows you to go through much of the other things that you don't enjoy so much because you've got a goal. I think about when a child's ready to get to the end of the school year, assuming that maybe he doesn't like school so much. He thinks, I can live through all of this because I'm going to get some time off. And that's a wonderful thing. It kind of diminishes the other things that are going on in your life. And I hope that that's what's happening to you this Christmas season. Not that you can forget about work, and not that you can forget about your responsibilities and duties and all that, but it should let you and I push the reset button and say, wait a minute, there are some things that are really important, and I better be focusing on those things. We see in this passage that we read earlier, the most beautiful picture in human history when Jesus came and left heaven and came to this earth. And then we get to see through the pages of Scripture how his mother, sat back and just pondered all of these things, the Bible said. Not only her, but we also see the shepherds that came, grown men who were rough and tough and known for being those that didn't take anything from anybody, yet they bowed their head and their hearts and their body to Jesus Christ and realized that he was the one that the angels had told him about. It truly was a silent night. Oh, there was other sounds, but as far as it being quiet so that you could realize what was really happening. And I want to show you from Scripture just a little bit in these next moments how a silent night could do you and I a lot of good as well. We read it before, but in verse 19, Mary ponders these things in her heart. And I would submit to you tonight that when you have a silent night, it causes you to take inventory. I can only imagine what was going through the mind of that young lady, knowing that she had not known a man, that she had not been inappropriate with anybody, yet God had chosen her to bring the Christ child into this world. And think about this, that Mary had nearly no finances. You know that because of the offering that her and Joseph were going to bring were a couple turtle doves, and that were for the poorest people that couldn't afford the better offerings. And so she was nearly no finances. Can you imagine the vile rumors that would have been spread about her, because people would have been saying the worst things that they could have about how she got into this state? She had gone through this great ordeal. She had had the crudest of conditions to bring the baby into the world. And here the Bible says she just kind of sat back and pondered all these things in her heart. Mary didn't have anything going for her except she was blessed of God to bring the Christ child into this world. I think about this, some friends of mine, they were taking some Christmas presents to a family that they were trying to help out. And as they were taking the family or the presents to this Christmas, to this family for Christmas, one of their about 9-year-old child got bit by a big 110-pound pit bull that family had, and a trip to the urgent care, then a trip to the ER, and follow-ups after that. And it would have been easy to get bitter and easy to get upset. They were trying to do something good, and here this is what comes of it. But what they chose to do was just look and realize that their child, although scarred up a little bit and some difficulties because of that, was safe. You see, God gives us these times in our calendar. Of course, the most blessed thing about Christmas, don't let anybody fool you. But people say, oh, it's a wonderful family time, and it is. It's a wonderful time just to relax, and it is. It's a wonderful time to value the relationships that really matter, and it is. But the beautiful thing about Christmas is not any of those. The most beautiful thing about Christmas is that God was providing salvation for you and me. So let's not rejoice about the family time without rejoicing about what Christmas really means, and that was the Christ child came to this earth. We were in a cabin in Pigeon Forge a long time ago, and one of the signs on the wall said, I got to the end of life and realized the most important things weren't things at all. It doesn't matter what you're chasing after, the most important things in this life is not things, but it's a relationship with that Christ child who grew to be the one that went to the cross and died for us. But this silent night, how about you? Are you having a silent night tonight? It makes us take inventory. But not only that, the Bible says in verse number 20 that the shepherds return glorifying God. Not only lets you take inventory on what's really important, and I trust that if you haven't done it yet, you will in the next day or two while most of us are off from work and you've got a little bit more time to think. I hope that you take inventory and say, what in the world really matters in this life? And I promise you, you're going to find that Jesus Christ is far away. Number one, he's what matters, and then your family after that, and then those jobs that we all chase after. But let's take inventory. But not only does it do that, the shepherds, the Bible says, return glorifying God. This silent night also gives you a chance to do what you're doing tonight. Glorify God. Praise Him. What's what we did in song. As we talked about the first Noel, as we sang about the great truths of the Christmas season, it gives us an opportunity to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was talking to this old preacher one time, and he was talking about some pretty deep stuff, not bad stuff, but just some deep stuff that he had been through, and he was older, and he'd been through the flint mill, as they used to say. But he said about one particular item that had caused him trouble in life, he said, that's a alone on the mountain kind of decision, John. I said, explain that to me. He said, that's the kind of decision you got to make when you're alone with God on the mountain. What he meant physically on the mountain, meaning that he got away to a place that he had known in the mountains. And he said, when I've got to make decisions like that, I got to get away from everything where it's just God and me, and I can hear his voice more prominently than I can when I've got so many other things that are speaking to me. But what this silent night gives to us is an opportunity to glorify God. It'd do us good to have a silent night. And we probably shouldn't wait 365 days before we have the next one either. We ought to make sure that once in a while we just pull back from everything and value the things that matter in our lives. These men, these shepherds, they had low social status, but they had been through undoubtedly the most awe-inspiring event in their whole lives. And they could have done a lot of things. They could have run scared. They could have run and sold their story to a tabloid if they had them back in that day. But what do? They leave glorifying God and giving praise to his name. And for this Christmas season, I want all of us to get ourselves busy with glorifying God. A passage that we didn't read is right after those ones, and I think I'm going to preach, Lord willing, this Sunday from it. But in verse 21, 22, and 23, we also see that that family, Joseph, Mary, they were obedient with the Christ child. They went and did the ceremonial things that they were supposed to do with Jewish children at the time. But I thought about this. When you have that silent night, when you have that time that you pull back from the things that are so constantly speaking to you in your life, it also gives you the opportunity not only to value what's important, but to determine to be obedient. You see, it's easy for us to not only not listen to God, but then we also don't obey God in the things that he wants us to do. In verse number 21, 2, talks about him circumcising the child, but that's according to the law of Moses, and they presented him to the Lord. So this family, they did what God commanded them to do. And I believe if we'd have a silent night, if we'd use this evening, as a matter of fact, just to stop everything for just a while, we find ourselves being more obedient Christians as we try to follow him. Because if we don't have a silent night, then we've got plenty of voices in the world, and those voices are saying things like, you're going to have to get it for yourself. You're going to have to push and pull and pry and make sure that you get to the top, because everybody else is your enemy and everybody else is your challenger, and you're going to have lots of voices that are going to lead you to do anything but biblical things. And so this silent night allowed the Christ child's mom and stepdad and that earthly father and the mother to obey. It directed them into obedience. And so God's brought you here. You say, Pastor John, God didn't bring me here. I just decided to come. Well, wonder why we decided to come. We decided to come, some of us out of tradition, and I love tradition. Decided to come for family, and I love family. But we also came because God directed our steps to get us here. Amen. And I believe that he would want us to have a night where we took a little inventory. And we said, what is it that truly matters in my life? And this evening, if you're sitting here and you're not, as you take inventory, you're not certain that you know intimately and personally that Christ child. As I've already alluded to, he didn't stay a babe in the manger. He grew, the Bible says, and he increased in his stature and increased in his learning and all of those things. And he went to a cross. And so we celebrate Christmas, but that was just the beginning. That Christ child went, and we all love a baby in a manger, but not many people love that gruesome sight of the Savior on the cross. But they were one and the same. All God in the manger and all God on the cross. And Jesus went to that cross. They took his lifeless body down off of there and put him in a tomb. And then in victory, he rose again physically, literally, in victory over death, hell, and the grave. That's the, as an old radio star used to say, that's the rest of the story. And now he lives forevermore. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating that special time in Bethlehem. Oh, we do. But we're celebrating that gruesome time, but that victorious time on the cross as well. And so if you're here tonight and you're having a silent night, I challenge you, my friend, as you're taking thought of what's in you, and you can't look back and remember a time when you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, that would be the greatest gift you could ever receive, and that is Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here tonight, it's as simple. The Bible even uses that word gift for the gift, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never received that gift, that's what this church has been here for all of these years, telling people about that gift of God, Jesus Christ, the one that wants to save us from our sins. And I trust if you don't know Him tonight, that you would open your heart and receive Him as your Savior. That's the benefits of a silent night. Would you pray together with me? Father, I thank You for this time to be in Your house. Lord, I'm thankful for this Christmas Eve. I'm thankful for this Christmas season. And Lord, I pray that You would do a thorough work on every life that's in this room and everyone that's listening. I pray to Your Lord, if there's one that doesn't know You as Savior, that they would finally put the pieces together and realize who the Christ child was, the babe in the manger. He was the Lord of glory. And I pray that right now, where they sit, as they put those pieces together, they would open their hearts and they would receive Him as their personal Savior for the forgiveness of their sins. And my friend, that's as easy it is as it is. And I trust that You would do that before You leave, right there where you sit, receiving the Christ child, the Christ, the crucified one, the risen one, as your Savior. And then I pray for every believer in this room, dear Lord, that they would take this opportunity to have this silent night to make sure that they're on track to be faithful in their race. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful, be faithful in their race. Bless us, I pray, as the ladies just play something silently, quietly through, rather. I challenge you to do a work with the Lord in your heart right there. If God's dealing with you, please make a little altar out of your seat. There where you sit, listening, He is. And Lord, just tell Him what's on your heart. If you're here tonight, you don't know Him as Savior. Oh, my friend, please, my friend, receive Him as your Lord and your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. That's why He came. As they play one more verse, if God's dealing with you, please do business with Him. If you look this way, our ushers are going to come with fire starters. If you've got your candles there, as they make their way to the front, I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand together with us, make it a little easier possibly for them to light. And we'll take just a moment here to light those. If you need a candle, then they can get you some. If you'll light the one next to you, if they need be. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sing about what Pastor just preached this evening. Silent night, holy night, as we hold these lights up and think about the light that came into the world. Silent night,
holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Daniel, our assistant pastor, Brother Kyle, is out with family right now, but we want to say Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. It's our joy to get to serve at this church, and we serve the Lord, but we also get to serve along some wonderful people, and we're grateful to get this opportunity. If you're here a guest with us, thank you for being here. If you're here with family, we want to let you know we appreciate you coming. There's a connect card in front of you in the pew back or the chair back. If you want to connect with us, and we'd love to have your information, if you'd love for us to send you something, thank you. And then if there's something, a prayer request on there, there's a section for a prayer request, I should say. You write that on there, and our staff, we pray on staff devotions. We'll be glad to go to the Lord on behalf of those. But if you'd like to connect with us, we'd certainly appreciate that. And it's just our joy to be here. But we want to say from Brother Daniel's family and my family, Merry Christmas. As you leave this evening, the ushers have bins back there that you can dispose of your candle on the way out. But we want to say have a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas. God bless you. You're dismissed. Amen. I'm going to try to catch some people.